a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
No Paul Gallant, Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, AJ Russ filling in for Paul Gallant. He will be back on Monday. You have us until 3 o'clock with Jeremy and Joel and the Killer Bees take over on these very airwaves. Right now, joining us on the HRMP listener line, the half of the Hall of Fame, which you can hear Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 7 o'clock alongside two-time WWE Hall of Famer Booker T. He is Brad Gilmore. He's also the voice of Reality Wrestling, and they have a great show coming up, a TV taping tomorrow night for Reality of Wrestling Glory. Tomorrow, July 26th, at the Walker Texas Lawyer Arena in Texas City. They got guys that you might recognize from the WWE roster, NXT, like AJ Francis, Stax, Hollywood, Haley J, who you saw on the Netflix show Wrestlers that came out last summer, along with four WWE ID matches. Brad Gilmore, welcome into the show, sir.
Hey, what's going on, B-Mac? Thanks for having me. I appreciate you, the plugging up top. Yeah, Road Glory 5 is going to be great for the Walker Texas Lawyer Arena tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely don't want to miss that show. And if you can't make it out live to Texas City, of course, you can catch the show on YouTube, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Reality Wrestling YouTube channel nearing 900,000 subscribers on the march to a million.
Very good, very good. So before we get into SummerSlam, because that comes up a week from tomorrow, and the other big news from the wrestling world yesterday, I was curious if you saw and laughed at, like I did, I've used in quotation marks, report that came out, I guess, about a week ago, talking about how the WWE really wants to build around, like, Rhea Ripley and Bron Breakker, which obviously was the no-doubt statement of the century. But I think everyone knows who's at the top. I mean, Roman Reigns just came back. He's at the top. CM Punk, whenever he it can be involved at his age, will be at the top. And then guys like Breaker and Rhea Ripley will be as well. Seth Rollins, when healthy, I assume he'll be back sometime after Mania next year. But amongst those guys not currently at the top of the card, if I were to actually come up with a report that wasn't so obvious that it's Bron Breakker and Rhea Ripley, who do you see as kind of the next group of talent that could be the face of the franchise, if you will?
Well, there's two names. I'll give you a male and a female that I think are going to be the biggest stars in professional wrestling within 2 to 3 years' time. And one of them is on the current WWE roster, and one of them is on the NXT roster. The female, I think, is without a doubt Stephanie Vaquer. Stephanie Vaquer checks every single box. She is an incredible in-ring performer. Her character is great. Her entrance is great. Obviously, from the superficial perspective, she's a beautiful woman as well, which never hurts in a show business. And I was at Monday Night Raw from the Toyota Center on Monday night, and the reaction to the crowd from the crowd to Stephanie Vaquer's entrance was one that made me go, wow, okay, she's next up. She's going to be one of the ones. And then from the male side, a guy who also looks the part in his own right and can talk the part and just had a huge interaction with one of the biggest stars of all time, being The Undertaker. That guy is the current TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Trick Williams. Trick Williams checks every single box, and I would earmark him as the future of the business.
Yeah, and talking about these next upcoming stars, I think given the news of yesterday, we should talk about probably the biggest star in professional wrestling history. He's definitely on whatever hypothetical Mount Rushmore that you would have is Hulk Hogan. Obviously, a lot you can say about Hulk Hogan, but just as far as, you know, his influence and impact in the ring, his legacy, so to speak, although some of the outside the ring stuff bleeds in to that, given his last appearance ever on a WWE broadcast. How would you sum up, I'd guess, the impact of Hulk Hogan on the sports entertainment business?
Well, it's a great question, and the reason why we are having a question about SummerSlam or having this conversation on the 97.5 airways is because of Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan is the reason, in conjunction with Vince McMahon, who also had his own transgressions outside the sports entertainment realm, Without those two guys, we wouldn't be talking about professional wrestling on a global basis. Hulk Hogan is the guy that the WWF, then known as, built the entire company around and built the organization around. He was the star attraction. I don't know if there's a singular bigger moment for professional wrestling history than at the Pontiac Silverdome when Hulk Hogan body slammed Andre the Giant in front of 93,173 people. This is what made the business that we are. And even if you didn't know wrestling or ever watch professional wrestling, Hulk Hogan is the Michael Jordan if you're a casual basketball fan. You could know nothing about golf and know who Tiger Woods is. You might have never seen a Wimbledon tournament, but Serena Williams' name rings true to you. That's who Hulk Hogan was. And without him, I wouldn't probably have ever discovered professional wrestling because he helped put it on the map. And his passing was actually very shocking to me. Several years ago, Booker and I had him on these very airwaves for a very candid conversation on our show, The Hall of Fame. It's my one and only interaction with Hulk Hogan. And we did talk about the good and bad and ugly of his professional life and personal life. But nevertheless, those transgressions aside, he is the first face on Mount Rushmore. He's the George Washington, right? I mean, he's the foundational guy.
Brad Gilmore joining us. You can hear him along with Booker T, two-time WWE Hall of Famer, Tuesdays and Wednesday nights here on ESPN Radio 97.5 with the Hall of Fame. And also catch him as the voice of reality wrestling this Saturday for Glory 5, their TV taping with a lot of great talents on that card. Brad, going over to the SummerSlam card, I mean, SummerSlam along with WrestleMania is always one of those cards that, maybe they mix in a few more celebrity appearances. If it certainly feels kind of like the WrestleMania of the summer, and following suit with that is now two nights just like WrestleMania. So this card, no exception, with the tag team match now with Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul, who, even though he is, I think we all kind of view him as a wrestler now and forget that he started off as a celebrity appearance, but you have Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul taking on Randy Orton and Jelly Roll, which was, I think, one of the more surprising celebrity inclusions on a major pay-per-view card that I've ever seen. What are your expectations for this match?
It's going to be a fun match. You're in there with Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre, and Logan Paul, three incredible people at their craft. Jelly Roll's in a tag situation. You can expect him to fire up for a hot tag. He's going to hit somebody with a choke slam and probably get the three count on probably Logan Paul, because that's what they've been building this around. It's gotten mainstream attention. It's on the Jimmy Kimmels. It's on all the websites and the podcast sphere. Everyone's talking about Jelly Roll's inclusion. And we have to forget, like, Logan Paul, one of the biggest names in his craft, right, when coming outside of the world of pro wrestling, Bad Bunny is one of the top artists in the world when it comes to his craft. And Jelly Roll is right there in the conversation when it comes to the world of country music and mainstream pop music. Jelly Roll is one of the biggest names out there. So if he calls and says, I want to do a tag team match at SummerSlam, you say, hell yeah. And then you put three guys as talented as Randy, Drew, and Logan around them. And I actually think that this is probably going to be one of those matches that once that 1-2-3 happens, we're going to go, hey, man, that was pretty damn good. Jelly Roll did his job. Now, if Jelly Roll doesn't go in there and execute, it's still, what's the harm in having him around, you know, so long as we don't have to have a protracted run with Jelly Roll in the way that they've done with other celebrities. I think it's fun.
Yeah, yeah. Probably the biggest bomb dropped on 2024 as far as WWE goes, it was the heel turn of John Cena at WrestleMania. And now what's interesting is it seems like there might be a little bit of a turn back, or just the seeds getting planted there. What do you make of so far how the WWE has handled John Cena's farewell tour and what your expectations are for it going forward?
To end his career this year, and he's got to do a full year of matches. I think it's almost like the finale of Seinfeld, if people remember that, or The Sopranos, or any of the big shows, Breaking Bad, or whatever the case might be, Succession. Everyone kind of writes it in their head before they see it. So inherently, it's always like, oh, they should have done this, or they could have done that. I think that John Cena has done a more than equitable job in this run as a heel. Obviously, maybe he could do some things a little bit better, and I'd love to have him more frequently, but he's a very busy individual, so I get that. But there's no doubt in my mind that by the time John Cena hangs it up in December, he's going to be a babyface again. This is a segment of the story, and he had to do what he had to do to get that 17th title, as he said in that promo, what was best for business. And we're seeing that. And obviously, I think that John Cena, when you talk about Mount Rushmore, as we were talking about with Hogan, he inhabits another one of those faces. And I'm just going to be sad to see him go, but it's going to be like when LeBron retires. It's like I've gotten to see this guy's entire career in front of my eyes, and I hope that his match against Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam is one for the ages.
Brad Gilmore joining us. You can hear him on the Hall of Fame on these very airwaves every Tuesday and Wednesday. You can also find his book, not on wrestling, on Back to the Future, Back from the Future by Brad Gilmore, a celebration of the greatest time travel story ever told. You find that on Amazon for all you Back to the Future fans. Brad, one more from me, going back to the SummerSlam card, the other world title match on the men's side, CM Punk versus Gunther. I don't know if you share this surprise. I was a little surprised that Gunther got back the world title this quickly, that they went away from Jey Uso and his win at WrestleMania. I thought a little too quickly, kind of reminiscent of the title run by Kofi Kingston back in 2019. But I don't know, like when I see this match, I feel like Punk's going to get another world title run at some point, but he does seem to fall into the category of guy that doesn't need the title. What is your feel about this match and where and how they've booked CM Punk?
Yeah, you know, I think that when you go to do a SummerSlam card, especially two nights, the first one ever, you want to make the biggest matches you can possibly make. And on the world title side, on the Monday Night Raw side, CM Punk is still one of the biggest stars on this current roster. And for him to be in a headline marquee match with stakes, having a championship on the line, from a draw perspective, it makes a lot of sense. Do I expect CM Punk to go out there and win the world title? I do not, because Gunther is a once-in-a-generation performer. And if anybody had doubts about Gunther before, go back and watch his match with Bill Goldberg at Saturday night's main event. If you would have told me that Bill Goldberg, in his retirement match, would have a great match and it'd be 15 minutes long, I would have never believed you in 1,000 years. And the reason why it was so satisfactory, at least from this person's perspective, is because Gunther is just that damn good. They don't call him the Ring General because it sells T-shirts. They call him that because it is an accurate description of this man. He is a precision tactician. So when you put him and CM Punk in the ring together, and CM Punk has had some great SummerSlam matches in the past, one against Brock Lesnar that comes to mind, I think that you're going to have magic. To your other point with Jey Uso, I did think it was a little bit premature to take the championship off of Jey Uso. I thought that we would see that at least through SummerSlam, and to take it off on a random Monday Night Raw definitely left a little bit to be desired from this guy right here. But Gunther, I can't argue with. He is the best guy in that squared circle, in that 20x20. So he and CM Punk are going to put on a hell of a match at SummerSlam.
All right, I lied. One more question for you, because you brought up something that I was a little bit irked by, that being the finish for Goldberg. You're absolutely right in that the idea that Bill Goldberg, who could pretty much only do three-minute squash matches and then damn near killed The Undertaker in Saudi Arabia a few years ago, could have a 15-minute match and then have it be a good match was, you know, unthought of. But I was a little bit annoyed by how Bill Goldberg talked about, you know, his send-off. I mean, to think a guy who wasn't capable of getting through three-minute matches, who was really, other than a short run, not a WWF guy. He was the direct competition trying to put WWF, then WWE, out of business. He's been given the platform and given a 15-minute platform at a prime spot to have a complaint about that send-off, to me, was a little bit annoying.
You know, I actually thought most guys don't get a official send-off, and I thought that if you could write it in Atlanta, Georgia, where he played for the Falcons for the world title on Saturday night's main event and have a great match, I don't see where the complaint is. As a fan, I thought it was an amazing send-off for one of the most magnetic and electric stars in the history of professional wrestling. Without Bill Goldberg, the run of WCW wouldn't have been as long. I think that you put him and Hulk Hogan in that same conversation as how important they were to that organization. And then for him to complain about it, I was a little bit thrown off by it. You know, every man's entitled to their own opinion. Perhaps he wrote it differently in his head. But as a fan, I thought that he got his just due. It felt like a big deal. And no one would think a 58-year-old Goldberg would have a chance at a world title in a retirement match that went 15 minutes on Saturday night's main event on network television. I mean, I don't see the complaint. I really don't. But, you know, to each his own, I still wish him well and think that he has earned his place in the WWE Hall of Fame. And he's a name that will always ring true when you talk about some of the great runs in the history of professional wrestling. He's probably not going to be in my top 25, but he'll be in my top 10 runs of all time when you think about the impact Bill Goldberg had in the late 90s.
Absolutely. That is the voice of Brad Gilmore, one half of the Hall of Fame, which you can hear Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock here on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. He is also the voice of Reality Wrestling, which you can catch out at the Walker Texas Lawyer Arena this Saturday for Rogue Glory 5, their TV taping. Brad, tell us more about that card and what the fans can expect to see both live in person tonight and on YouTube.
Yeah, man, you're going to see, when we talk about the next generation of professional wrestlers, you're seeing them right here in Houston. The first school ever given the WWE ID designation. We really hold that with a lot of honor at the Walker Texas Lawyer Arena. You're going to see a great card, including the Reality Wrestling Glory Champion, AJ Francis, and it's all going to be about house money on Saturday night. He's in a big tag team match with Quentin Winters against Chandler Hopkins and a mystery opponent. The mystery opponent in pro wrestling is one of my favorite things, so you're going to have to come out to the Walker Texas Lawyer Arena and see who that might be.
As long as he doesn't break out of an egg like happened at Survivor Series all those years ago, I'll be very excited.
How did you know it was a gobbledygooker? How did you know? You just ruined it for everybody.
Oh, that's my bad. That's my bad, Brad. All right, Brad, thank you for joining us. We'll have you back in as soon as possible.
All right, thanks, guys.
Again, that was Brad Gilmore here on Tuesdays and Wednesdays nights, along with the two-time WWE Hall of Famer Booker T as a part of the Hall of Fame. Again, 7 o'clock Tuesdays and Wednesdays here on ESPN Radio 97.5. All right, when we get back on the Paul Gallant Show, Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, AJ Russ, Michael Carroll will join us, and we're going to run a segment back from Dell's show. We're going to give you some weekend homework with what you should watch. That next on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
So what are we doing this weekend?
Yeah, what are we doing?
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow.
Oh, and I almost forgot.
I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too.
Because Paul Gallant has weekend homework for you.
Welcome back into the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. No Paul Gallant. A little ironic in there that it came in with Paul Gallant saying no days off, where he just took 5 days off.
Yeah.
But, you know, I digress. Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, AJ Russ with you. And we're joined by Michael Carroll to completely and unapologetically run back a segment from the Del Olea show.
Heard
about 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
We're just running it back.
We got Zhong Li.
Oh yeah, we won't have quote Michael's guests. now who's responsible for that? The intern?
Okay. To be fair to Summer, I just told her, like, hey, just a heads up, my co-host Zhong is going to be calling in.
Right.
And then I didn't really tell Zhong to say anything. I didn't tell, you know. So there's a little thing. Let me say this. I'm sorry, Summer. I put you on blast. You are a great intern. That's not what happened.
Okay. All right. As long as we clear the air on who's the fault for...
She hates me.
Now it didn't help.
You're not really digging yourself out of the hole there.
I know.
All right. So obviously the biggest thing to watch this week, and I believe you're going to see it tomorrow.
Yes.
I've got tickets for Sunday. Sean and AJ have already seen it.
Oh, Sean.
I know. Yeah. Humble brag.
Someone's
those
free
guys
on a Thursday night.
But Fantastic Four is
coming
out.
Old guys that just don't want to go at night.
All three of you know what time I usually like to see movies.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I am right there with you.
Singing at night was clearly out of the picture.
9 p.m. start.
Oh,
for
God.
No.
No.
So same thing.
8:40?
8:40?
Same thing.
No.
I'm singing at 11 a.m. on Sunday. which actually is a little too late for me, to be honest. If we're being honest, like I saw, there was part of me, I mean, if I wasn't filling in for Paul, I would have totally done this today. But they're like 9 a.m. showings.
Yeah.
I would have totally been there today. If
that's
I was
your
not
sweet
filling.
Spot. Yeah.
Oh, 9 a.m.? Brother, that is chef's kiss.
Yeah.
A good 9 a.m. movie where they haven't even made new popcorn. Hot dogs are kept over from the day before. Just
you're not eating any of these things, correct?
Popcorn. Yeah, the popcorn. Now, most of the time, they actually will like make a new batch, but there have been a few times like this clearly is the same popcorn as last night.
I used to
power through it.
Just put a Snickers bar in your pocket. Like, why are you spending $7 on crappy?
God, I wish it was $7.
But why are you spending that much on crappy popcorn? Just sneak food into the. Yeah.
I have snuck in a Chick-fil-A biscuit or two my time.
There you go.
I have time, that's the problem.
Yeah,
there.
The problem is Taco Bell is normally not open, so I can't sneak in a quesadilla.
Did you know this about Sean? He's actually snuck Taco Bell into a movie before.
Wow. Respect.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Like,
thank
how big?
What was the menu item? I forget.
Yeah, what was the menu item?
It was a quesarita. It's a burrito.
Did you just put it in your pocket? Do you have a hoodie or?
A hoodie.
Okay. It's a little easier with a hoodie.
Yeah.
In my head.
Also, if you have a lady with you, that opens up a whole bunch of possibilities.
Did you go on a date? Hold on. Before we can talk about Fantastic, were you on a date when you snuck in a quesarito?
No.
Okay.
No.
Right. I really wish you were.
Man, that'd been fantastic if you were.
Speaking of fantastic.
Oh, there it is. Look at that pro transition. So, Michael, I guess to get into Fantastic Four. Yes. Now, obviously, the Thunderbolts was a big success, but the multiverse era of this franchise of the MCU has been pretty up or down. But the reviews so far, and it seems like Sean, AJ, you guys both liked the movie. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah, for sure. AJ liked it.
AJ liked it?
I also liked it.
No, okay. But the reviews are out. The Rotten Tomatoes score are pretty good. I don't know if I don't want to throw around the term save the direction of the...
Don't say it.
Because it's a lot to ask for. But how do you feel like this will... Because I think one of the criticisms has just been the story has been so broad, it's been hard to tie in all the loose strings. Like, how do you feel this will maybe... Do or not solve some of those issues?
I don't think it'll solve, because this one, I think Kevin Feige has said, this is one where you don't need homework, where you don't need to have watched anything.
It's more
going
origin.
Into it. It's more origin. I mean, it's set in its own universe. It's got this own aesthetic to it, the retro futuristic 60s aesthetic to it. So it's a very different film than what we've seen from Marvel previously. And it's just set in its own universe so that it's... You don't need to have watched anything else. It is tying to the larger narrative.
Yeah.
But it's not a, oh, did I miss out by not watching Thunderbolts or...
Or watching the previous Fantastic Four movies.
Oh, those
should we go
movies.
Back and rewatch those?
Oh, gotta, you don't gotta have watch
to.
Them.
You don't have to.
Gotta
you
watch
don't have to.
It might give you a greater appreciation for this one.
Yeah, because didn't one of them have like a 9% Rotten Tomatoes score?
Trash.
Yeah,
trash.
It was straight trash. It was straight trash.
2015, yes.
So moving forward in the MCU, I've seen some talk that the two Avengers films that will kind of close out this phase is being viewed as a reset for the MCU. What do you think that means necessarily?
Basically that it's not going to be like a new Iron Man, new Captain America, like an all new thing. It's just going to merge all the timelines and universes into one set point that we're going to move forward from there. So, like, the Fantastic Four are going to continue. Certain characters, probably Doctor Strange, probably maybe Tom Holland, Spider-Man. But, like, different ones will continue on, but not everybody. Gotcha. They are talking about a recasting Iron Man at some point. They are talking about a new Captain America at some point. Obviously, that's a little different.
Not Anthony Mackie?
Well, at some point, it's going to transition to another Captain America.
Interesting.
Just kind of like... He described it as like when you do James Bond.
Yeah.
Oh, that was
something along those lines.
Where I take that more as a new Steve Rogers.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But not like come 2027, 2028, we get a new Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
Not like that. The focus is going to be X-Men. And the focus is X-Men, Fantastic Four, all the different ones are in the same universe. And we're just telling a uniform story from here on out.
That will be a breath of fresh air, because certainly the. I think the lack of cohesion has been like one of the biggest detriments to this phase of the story.
And just the quantity aspect of it, of just there's so many loose ends that, you know, when you're churning out as much content as they have, they're not actually like connecting them. Like there's
other than somehow, Loki literally holding everything together.
Yeah, it's, but like as far as like when you sit down in the movie theater, like you're like, this didn't really connect to the 6-episode miniseries that I watched earlier this year. And there's a post-credit scene where I'm like, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to see this guy again. Like this, I don't know if I'll ever see Harry Styles in one of these movies.
Man,
It's
probably not.
And I think
Patton Oswalt too.
Yeah, and the changing of the way they tell the stories in terms of Avengers films used to close out a phase, and I think that's changed things a lot that people don't realize is that we got used to the cadence of 4 movies. Avengers.
Right.
And that felt like, okay, that's chapter one.
Yeah.
4 movies, Avengers, that's chapter two, and so on. And we're not going to do that anymore.
Well, they didn't do that in this phase at all. No, like, we went, 19 movies before we got an Avengers movie?
And Kevin Feige was like, no, that should be a close of a saga rather than just closing phases.
Like a chapter.
Yeah. And but then it's like, well, you've trained your audience for 10 years to expect that. I don't know that that was the right move to go about it.
Oh, yeah, we'll see how they adapt. So let's go into a few other movies coming out. One I will definitely watch, and one I will watch for comedic effects, and it's not the one you're thinking about. But Happy Gilmore 2 comes out, or already is out, on Netflix today. That feels like one of those movies where if you are a fan of the first movie, you're going to watch it because you love the first movie.
100%.
But it's probably not going to be a great technical movie because it feels like it's 90% cameo.
It's 100% that. when people yell about superhero movies.
Bad Bunny's in it. MJF, Becky Lynch is in it.
Becky Lynch is in it. Eminem's in it.
Yeah.
Half the PGA Tour is in it.
Half the PGA Tour.
John Daly's in it.
Post Malone's in it. Travis Kelce's in it. I mean, it's a ridiculous amount of people. So don't talk to me about superhero. I don't know. It's 100% like Adam Sandler being like, hey,
no,
you want to come through?
It is Adam Sandler.
Calling in favors?
Yeah.
I was going to say maybe unwittingly, maybe wittingly, doing Adam Sandler like parody of what an Adam Sandler, when you think of a late stage Adam Sandler movie
Grown-ups
is.
Grown Ups 2 sort of thing where you get everybody
like,
in it.
It's just, all of his famous friends. Like, this movie comes out. We know everyone who's in it, not everyone who's in it, but we know all these cameos. We know 25 different cameos. Do any of us know a single plot point in this? Like, do we know the, like...
He's got to pay for
synopsis?
School, right?
He's like, got to pay.
He needs money for school or for something.
It doesn't seem like we know.
Well, I just know he's got, like, 4 kids and he needs money. That's the basic plot that I know.
He returns to tee off for the first time to help pay for his daughter's ballet school.
Oh, but not ballet school. I thought it was college, but ballet school.
Ballet school.
Okay. All right.
But it seems like
his own daughter's in it, by the way, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his actual
real-life daughter.
Yeah. Get that job. It does seem like they're selling you on, look at these famous
nostalgia.
People.
Well, that nostalgia, certainly nostalgia.
That's 100% what that movie
is. One more movie I want to get into because I thought I was going to be the first one to talk about this today, but you stole my thunder.
Not about two hours ago.
He is thorough.
And that, no one gets one over on Michael Carroll. So that is a movie that, I mean, you have to see the movie poster for this. It's in our Google Doc. Go out and find the trailer like I will after the Killer Bees are over.
You should watch it.
But it is Bambi : The Reckoning. And the movie poster looks exactly like you would think it would. And I'm going to pull up the movie description here because the movie plot is pretty fantastic as well.
Fantastic.
Here's the movie.
Say that again.
So the info that they put up on the Rotten Tomatoes app is, after a mother and son get in a car wreck, they soon become haunted by Bambi, a mutated, grief-stricken deer on a deadly rampage seeking revenge for the death of his mother. I mean, I cannot be any more in on a movie. I will see this movie so many times. Perhaps more times than I saw Kraven the Hunter, which I know you know is saying something. Kraven the Hunter is an excellent movie, despite what you've said about it. But how excited on a scale of greatest movie or greatest movie of all time, Michael? How excited are you for Bambi: The Reckoning?
Is there a negative to this one?
No. You expect it to be a great movie the greatest of all time?
Is it more Godfather or Godfather 2?
Yeah. What is your thought on this?
It's Godfather 2.
Two and a half.
That's played by high school kids at some showing somehow, just, some way.
That's disrespectful. I wish I went to that high school. I don't like that answer.
it's Bambi the Reckoning. Bambi's murdering people.
I will say.
He's out for revenge. They killed his mother.
I mean, he's out for revenge.
Okay, tell me this. What is the difference between Bambi and John Wick? I don't see a difference, okay?
Where's the dog?
They killed Bambi's mother. They killed John Wick's dog. They're both out for revenge. This is the John Wick of the animal world. Why aren't you behind it?
The John Wick of the animal
Michael
world?
Michael Carroll, do you hate animals? That's what people want to know.
What? I love animals.
Apparently not.
If you ask anybody, I have tons of animal friends.
I don't think AJ believes you. He doesn't seem to believe you.
I believe
you. Thank you.
Turn off your microphone, AJ. Damn it.
Finally.
Don't give Michael an out.
Are these the people that brought you Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey?
It has to be, right? Yeah, I think so.
There was another one.
That lowers my expectations for it, I will say.
That's disappointing to hear from you, Sean.
I say do anything before me.
I thought you were on the right side of history.
I say do anything before me, and unfortunately, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
It wasn't
as interesting as you'd think.
No.
I'm very interested in this movie poster, at least. And seen the trailer.
I mean, it's like haunted big buck hunter. So, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
All right. So, I think what we, the consensus that we came up with, we're power ranking the movies out. We go Bambi the Reckoning, Fantastic Four, Happy Gilmore 2. All right. That's the official ranking.
No.
That the opinion of Michael Carroll, which you can hear on Comic Cast.
Yeah, he'll go into it for 45 uninterrupted minutes.
Comic-Cast every Wednesday following the Hall of Fame here on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5 in all fine podcast platforms. What's your most latest issue out about?
It is about Kevin Feige's big update about the MCU mainly, and just celebrating that Fantastic Four's out this week.
And Bambi the Reckoning.
And, oh, man, we ran out of time.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Could not get the Bambi the Reckoning.
There's the podcast cut, and then there's the cut that airs.
The Zack Snyder cut.
Yeah, we have the director's cut of issue 604 has Bambi the Reckoning.
And it's 4 hours long, just like Zack Snyder movies.
Exactly.
All right, that'll do it for the ripoff of Delalea's segment. When we return, it's time for something we usually do on Saturdays. It is time for Mount Rushmore Plus One. Don't go anywhere.
Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel,
these courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Welcome in, Houston, to the best part of your Friday. Not the weekend. You used to say weekend there.
Yeah, it's almost.
Welcome to the best part of your Friday. It is time for the groundbreaking, award-winning segment that has forever changed the sports radio landscape. And I'm really nervous about this next bit because I'm doing it on Friday when they might hear it. But the segment that'll land Sean, AJ, myself, John Bellmer, and Cam Smith in the Texas Radio Hall of Fame in the far less than the 27 years it took those bums, John Lance, to get there.
Okay, that part they might have.
See, you haven't done the Saturday show as much. I've upped the ante. I'm trying to up the ante every week until they actually say something. I'm trying to evoke a response. But I was a little more nervous about doing that bit on a Friday than I usually am on a Saturday. Saturday I don't care. All right, it is time for Mount Rushmore Plus One. Sean will go last because he is Main Event Makes, and Main Event Makes is going to main event. But I will lead us off, and I have some audio to set this up. Audio from AJ, maybe the greatest actor of our generation. That, of course, John Barenthal.
No. Wait.
So John Barenthal, you might know him from The Walking Dead, you might know him from The Accountant 2, you might know him from The Bear, but you've seen his face, you've seen his voice.
Yeah, Punisher.
Punisher, yes, obviously that may be his most famous role. But he is one of those actors, I would also throw Danny McBride into this, Melissa McCarthy in this, where they kind of play the same character, where no matter where they're at, like the scene around them changes, but they still play themselves, essentially.
You hire Barenthal to be Barenthal.
Exactly. So with that in mind, because I just want to have the visual. When you're listening to this, kind of just think of the Barenthal face reactions, the Barenthal tone of voice, and the way he says things as I put him into the lead role of other movies he's not currently in.
Okay.
So this was inspired where you recasted movies, but everyone was Muppets except for one character.
Yes, movies where you could replace every character except for one with Muppets.
So I'm replacing the lead of current movies. Well, not current movies, but, you know, big movies. Now with John Barenthal instead. All right, so that's where we are. My Mount Rushmore plus one of other roles John Barenthal should be placed into. Edit out the current star of the show and put John Barenthal in. But number one on the list, Conclave. instead of
Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah, instead of Ralph Fiennes, now John Barenthal is the lead priest trying to lead the waters of this tenuous debate and vote about who will be the next pope.
Lead cardinal.
My bad.
But he'd get it done way
faster. I think that would be a much shorter movie. Ray Fiennes was pretty diplomatic. He was a little timid at times. He didn't want to ruffle any feathers.
Yeah, no.
John Barenthal, we're one vote and we're done. This is not taking multiple votes.
Yeah, no, people definitely treat him with a lot more respect walking through the halls of the Vatican.
All right, next up on my list of roles to put John Barenthal into, Oppenheimer.
As
J. Robert Oppenheimer.
Let me tell you something.
How quickly do you think we...
I mean, become Death Assured.
I don't think John Barenthal in that role has as many qualms morally about dropping the bomb as J. Robert Oppenheimer did.
A third? Fourth?
Yeah, history would have been written differently if John Barenthal were playing J. Robert Oppenheimer. Next one on the list, Dallas Buyers Club. Out goes Matthew McConaughey, and any sort of seriousness to the role in the acting skill, which is kind of funny where McConaughey came from. Yeah. But it is John Barenthal and his mannerisms. Next up on the list, and this one I give credit to Michael Carroll, who when I was kind of spitballing this idea around a few weeks ago, he came up with this one, but I'm stealing it and taking credit for it, but also giving him credit for it. That is the Nutty Professor.
So he plays
Eddie Murphy out is Eddie Murphy, and John Barenthal's playing everybody.
Okay.
Now, that might be problematic, but Robert Downey Jr. got away with it, so we'll see how it goes.
Well, I don't think he has to be.
Yeah, he doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to take as far as Robert Downey Jr.
I was just picturing John Barenthal in, like, a Pope outfit cardinal outfit.
That's fair. I'm just saying there's some complications
just
there.
Just put a hat
there's
on
some
him
complications there.
Oppenheimer.
And last one, this one by one of the finest actors of our times, who I think is coming out of retirement, or at least that's the rumor, but Lincoln. No longer, I forget the actor's name now off the top of my head. He was also Daniel Day-Lewis, yes. Take out Daniel Day-Lewis as Lincoln, place in John Barenthal as one of this nation's greatest presidents, trying to lead us through some of the most tumultuous time in our country.
Ends differently.
Again, the war doesn't take 5 years. Is all I'm saying.
I'm saying he sees the end of the play.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah. John Wilkes Booth never gets off the shot if John Barenthal is the president. Yeah, he just reaches behind, rips the gun out, beats him to death with it.
Yeah.
He jumps down from the rafters and doesn't break his ankle and limp away.
Exactly.
All right. AJ, you haven't done a Mount Rushmore plus one in a while, but what is your Mount Rushmore plus one, sir?
So for mine, since, you know, Fantastic Four First Step just came out last night, and this is, of course, going to be spoiler free, but I wanted to basically add a Mount Rushmore plus one of all the top five movies since Endgame came out. So starting from 5 to 1, this is a controversial one because I don't think so, because it had a lot of great reviews, but for me, at number 5, Shang-Chi, Legend of the Ten Rings.
Well, that's a good movie.
Yeah, definitely. Sure.
And also for honorable mention, too, before I get into the rest of it, I had Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 because I like that one a lot.
Ooh, not your top five.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to disagree with one of yours then.
Okay. Number 4, I have Thunderbolts.
Sure.
Really enjoyed that movie.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Second best movie from Marvel to come out this year. But yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And then at number 3, I had Deadpool and Wolverine. So maybe.
No argument.
Okay. I would put Guardians 3 over Deadpool.
I'd have them both in my top five, but I don't mind Deadpool above Guardians.
Okay.
And still waiting for Eternals.
The final two? No, heck no, it was not. But that's a beautiful
still waiting movie. For Ant-Man Quantumania.
No, that's not. Eternals is good.
No, it's not. Stop it. Go ahead, AJ. Your last two.
And number two, I have Fantastic Four: First Steps. I really enjoyed that movie, and I know that might be, you know, obviously Sean.
Recency bias?
No, I don't think so. I think it was a really good film. I guess Brian will be able to.
I'll see it Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't disagree that it's
right. It's a really good movie.
Really good,
yeah, for sure. And then number one, I still have No Way Home up there. So, I for a second, I debated on putting Fantastic Four at number one.
I guess that's where I was trying to figure out what I was going to take
You're
out.
Not doing the it's math just, of one just added.
I haven't seen one of them yet. That was the math. So yeah, I might actually agree. Maybe arrange the order differently, but I think I might actually end up agreeing with AJ's list. Well done there, AJ. Main event, Mapes. Go ahead and main event this bad boy.
Mount Rushmore plus one in honor of what I've already talked about today a couple hours ago, because I had a list that it wasn't complete, and then I realized it was a little bit harder to complete it.
So you're rerunning something else from Del's show?
Yeah, not rerunning it, but reorienting the conversation, I would say.
That is quite a spin there, Sean. Well done. I like that. I'm going to steal that. No, I'm going to reorient that. There we go.
Yes, I'm reframing the discussion
of
the Mount Rushmore plus one of college football mascots.
Oh, okay.
By this, I mean the I talked about what Ryan McGee's – I reacted to his list, and he had him
– Who was his number
one? He had him segregated into live animals, live humans, clothed, and then mechanized ones.
And then a tree? For Stanford?
Oh, no, that was just a man in a suit. He went to the costume.
Okay. So he's a part of that group. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Mine, desegregated. Mine, everyone's allowed in the same one. And I'm fixing all the ills that Ryan McGee had on his list. So,
true patriot, sir.
Yes. Lean things off. I'm going to go with Big Red from Western Kentucky University. He is just a red blob.
Yeah, it's kind of like Grimace. Yeah, it kind of looks like Grimace.
Yes, Grimace adjacent, I would say.
A reframed Grimace.
Modern retelling of Grimace. Next up, in the news lately, we've actually talked about her the other day when we did this show.
Oh.
Reveille,
even with one eye now?
I think especially with one eye.
Yeah, that actually does move Reveille up the list.
Yeah, and spoiler, only dog mascot on here. Ugga sucks. Get Ugga out of here.
Yeah, Bevo tried to take out Ugga a few years ago.
Ugga's
if people hadn't stepped in, Ugga would have been attached to one of his horns.
They lived for like 5 years, dude. Even without Longhorn.
Get out of here, Ugga.
Get out of here. Next one. This is my favorite clothed, or I guess costumed.
You have naked ones in the list?
No, he's not fully
clothed. You got clothed.
I realize he's not fully clothed.
Okay.
But it's the duck from Oregon.
Oh, yeah. He's good.
Part of
hijinks for the... He rides a motorcycle sometimes.
Motorcycle.
Yeah.
Does the push-ups.
Yep.
To steal a term from AJ's generation. I think he gets added aura from just being called the duck.
The duck?
He doesn't have a name.
True.
He doesn't have a name at all?
No, he's not like Reveille or Big Red.
Because Miami, they have Sebastian.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, he is the duck.
The duck. I like that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Next one, got Ralphie. I mean, an uncontrollable, over 1,000-pound animal running onto the field with, like six students holding on for dear life?
Let's be honest, they're on for the ride. Yeah,
holding on for dear life.
If Ralphie wants to keep going, he's going to keep going.
He could delay a game. Or she, actually. Ralphie's a girl.
Oh.
Yeah, she could delay a game if she wanted to.
I've only seen Ralphie in person once. It was at the 2005 Big 12 Championship. It was really the lone highlight for Colorado that day. Wow. As they scored 3 points. Longhorns.
Yeah,
Joe Kladd
and the 70. Colorado offense.
No. Ralphie was the only highlight for Colorado that day.
And last, but definitely not least.
Is this number one?
Yes.
Okay.
Bevo, come on.
Yeah, I mean, this is the reason for the season.
What I look like.
Yeah. what I look like, a turncoat?
Yeah. Now, if I'm being honest, I would prefer some Ralphie-like activities from Bevo.
I mean, he did try to take out Ugga. We just mentioned it.
Yes, but, you know, on a Saturday to Saturday... Really, you know, I've just seen him walk into his pen and then just kind of chill there for the most part. But yeah, you don't get a lot of interaction with Bevo. But some of that's good because...
Interaction with Bevo could be deadly.
Giant horns on
the
side of his head.
Ask the Georgia mascot. Ask the Georgia mascot. All right, that'll do it for Mount Rushmore Plus One. But we will go ahead and you can go ahead and take down the music, AJ. We will roll through as just a few minutes left here before we hand it over to the Killer Bees. So I think for time's sake, we're going to need to skip one of these. You want to end with the positive then?
Let's just end with the positive.
Yeah, we'll skip the worst people. Well, I'll just name my worst person in sports this week. We won't play the audio, but it was Cam Ward for the disrespect he put on Will Levis, saying, he has no thoughts on Will Levis getting injured. He's just worried about Cam Ward using the third person.
Yeah, don't love that. Sean Mapes doesn't love that.
Yeah, Brian McDonald doesn't either. And Brian McDonald will go ahead and doggy paddle over to the Sea of Tranquility because we were done swimming with the Anger Sharks for this week. It's time to talk about what we love from sports this week. What I love from sports this week, and I know this is somebody in division, so this might create a little drama, but Zach Neto, the Angels infielder, apparently got his home run celebration from a WWE superstar. Go ahead and hit AJ. The audio from, I'll walk you up here. Zach Neto talked about seeing a Pacific WWE wrestler in person while he was recovering from injury, being inspired by his entrance, and now he incorporates that into his home run celebration.
I know you're a big WWE fan. You have a really fun celly whenever you hit a home run.
It was actually crazy because I went to my first WWE event on my rehab assignment. I took some of the guys from AAA to Sacramento right there. I got to see Penta for the first time in person. Just seeing his celebration, just the person that he is, I thought it was pretty special to do it. It kind of fits with the 305 too. Our bullpen catcher, Manny, he's Mexican too, and he loves Penta. So every time I do it, if you look in the bullpen, he's right there with me doing it at the same time. So it's pretty cool.
I assume then that you grew up watching WWE.
Every Monday and Thursday, when it was Monday and Thursday, now it's Mondays and Fridays. I never miss a show. Even to today at 24, I still don't miss a show.
I love it.
Zach Neto, like I like him a little bit more now. I know he's with an enemy, but it's an enemy I don't really have to worry about, so I can like him because, like a George Kittle, he is also a fellow wrestling fan. Sean, what'd you love from sports this week?
AJ, we got the Nick Saban audio ready of Nick Saban talking about a possible return to college coaching. Oh? the top computer loads very slowly.
The top computer loads very good. Yeah, why don't you just point at us? You good there? You look like you're good there, AJ. Go ahead.
All right. And Nick Saban said... Nick Saban said...
It happens to all of us, AJ. Don't worry. We've both been there.
He said that he hadn't thought about returning to coaching until this morning as after his wife, Miss Terry, asked him to Swiffer the entire bottom floor. And he sat there and he was like, you know what? I didn't have to do this back when I was coaching.
Been there,
brother.
See, I thought you were going to say, like, he's finally home now. And Mrs. Terry's like, you could leave again. I thought you were going that direction. But he's the one tired of being at home. So, all right. Well, make your bids for college football teams with potential openings. Maybe Hugh Freeze loses a job and Nick Saban swoops in.
Or he just has to buy a Roomba.
All right. That'll do it for the Paul Gallant Show. Paul Gallant back on Monday for Sean Mapes, for AJ Russ, thank you to Brad Gilmore and Brad Kellner for joining us early in the show. I am Brian McDonald. Don't go anywhere. The Killer Bees with Joel and Jeremy is up next. Have a great weekend, Houston.